As of right now, we've been working very carefully with all agencies, frankly, the state agencies, the local health departments, the regional coalitions, the guidance from CDC, CMS, and preparing in the event that they start entering our facilities. All providers are worried about their staff, they're worried about their current residents, future residents, and our communities as a whole. The guidance that has been out back then and even currently is for healthcare facilities like ours, that if the need exists to take in positive COVID-19 cases, the suggestion is, or the guidance is, for us to have specific identified units. They're closed off, they're isolated with staff, and so on and so forth. So in the effort of being proactive, several weeks ago we started that process. At this point, I can't comment on the what we have from a patient healthcare standpoint due to privacy, but really our efforts were to be proactive. And I think several of the other organizations everyone's really looking at it because that's what the guidance says. As of right now, our position, and let me be clear, our position changes based on guidance, mandation, and backtracking one second. Not only several weeks ago was the suggestion that facilities do that, we were also preparing for a possibility that Michigan would enact the same thing that they did in New York, which actually mandated facilities like ours to accept the patients. So, in the effort of being proactive, we wanted to say, okay, if we end up being mandated, we want to be prepared. So where we stand today, John, is what I'm working with. I just got off the phone with some representatives from Ascension Healthcare. We have a facility, one of our facilities that's roughly half occupied. We have a number of discharges from that facility for people that have been undergoing just routine care and services, rehabilitation services. So that census there is dropping. And what we are going to propose is that we look to discharge those particular residents to other non-COVID facilities or home. Some of them are finishing their routine services, like I said, or home, and then perhaps dedicate that 100-bed facility as a COVID facility. We are working with several hospital systems because if we do this, John, we're going to need help. I mean, we're going to need help. We're going to need help from a personal protective equipment standpoint. We're going to need help from a staffing standpoint and, so on and so forth. So the particular hospital system that I'm working with, they're going to be on a conference. Well, I'm working with several hospital systems, frankly. This would enable us as an organization, to perhaps offer 100 beds. I know sometimes location may not be ideal, but, in this current healthcare situation, we're trying to do our part, keep our current residents and families and team members safe while offering a solution to the problem. So no decisions have been made. We're in those discussions. We're going to need some assurances that, the hospital systems will help us. We're doing the best we can with our supply chains for personal protective equipment and other supplies. But when you dedicate a wing or a facility, the amount of PPE that will be used on a daily basis is significant. And I think most people know, if they're watching the news, that the supplies of PPE is low, and everybody is scrambling to get what they need. But I think if we work together. And the hospitals that I've been talking to seem to be want this and are eager to have these conversations, but we just got to figure out what that looks like, keep our current people safe, as well as plan for a surge. The people I'm talking to think this week and next week it's only going to get worse.
So just to be clear, as of right now, there have been no COVID transfers to any Wellbridge facility.
No.
Okay. And
now, again, if people with signs and symptoms, because some people haven't been tested, you know, with people with signs and symptoms, we put on isolation precautions.
But there haven't been any, like, specific transfers that these are COVID patients and we need you to take this overflow.
There's been requests, but there hasn't occurred. We've been asking for a one negative test.
And
problem is they're testing some, they're not testing others. I'm not in the testing business, but I think that what I've been hearing is that the test kits are not really available.
And so your plan is, or your hope is that you can clear out one of your facilities and make that strictly a COVID overflow.
Correct.
Okay. And can you say which facility that is?
I'd rather not. Just to be until we're definitive, then I don't want to get anybody concerned or upset. And we would communicate with the appropriate people well in advance and then make appropriate arrangements with them individually.
Understood. So the mandate that you were talking about, now there is no mandate currently in Michigan, correct?
No, not from the state level. We've had a little bit of confusion from the regional healthcare coalitions. Some are indicating that you have to, if you discharge somebody and they get diagnosed in the hospital, you have to take them back. But we're currently working to get clarification on that. That's something I actually been working on over the last 12 hours.
Okay. So for anyone who has a loved one at a Wellbridge facility or is at a Wellbridge facility themselves, if the circumstance arose that a COVID patient would be coming in, I understand that your hope is to be able to just designate one facility, but you may have to do like a wing in a facility, or you're pretty much opposed to doing that?
Well, it depends on what happens. We'd prefer not. We'd rather use one specific facility. We just want to protect everybody.
Right.
But there's been no mandates in Michigan, and there was in New York that got our attention. Southeastern Michigan particularly is becoming more and more nationally looked at in terms of maybe the next. So that could be coming. If it does, we would isolate wings. I know you mentioned another company and facility in town that's looking to do the same thing. That everybody's preparing for that should it come, and if it happens, then we're gonna do what we got to protect everybody.
And I guess another issue that has come up is that the notion that there's a financial incentive to take these patients on. Can you address that?
I had somebody reach out to me and basically mention that, and that's absolutely false. It's just troubling. We're trying to take care of people. We're buying PPE at levels that we've never seen. We've got no indication, at least at the state level, that some of the federal money that's coming in is going to come our way. We're doing this, and we're going to take care of people. A lot of the people we took care of before, the rehab patients, are gone. They stopped getting surgeries, elective surgeries, and those types of things, several weeks ago. Our occupancy levels are down. But the financial, that's totally, totally preposterous. And thank you for asking, because this is not a financial play by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay. So basically, even with all this that you've clarified, it's work in progress, and things, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, are always in flux, and that's the anticipation that they're going to change as we move forward.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning that. I've been on calls every Monday. There's a LTC 100 task force that's a national task force that has representation of leaders in the acute side of things, the post-acute side, home care. We've been getting reports out of New York on a regular basis. We've had folks from Washington. We actually had an ER doc from Italy on the call. We're all trying to collaborate and try to be out front of this. It's very difficult. CDC guidance is changing, you know, on a rapid basis. You know, we're struggling with getting the information, training the staff, getting new information, training the staff with the new information. You know, it's just been very difficult for our local leaders and all of us, frankly. All the while trying to calm people down, make sure, you know, staff show up to work. They're fearful, you know, for good reason. I think we all are. And so we've been really dedicated to just following all the guidance and understanding that things are changing. I mean, you know, I've been a little reluctant to give interviews because, you air it tomorrow and things have changed. But I can tell you what I know today.
All right. Well, fair enough. We appreciate you taking the time. Anything you want to add to what you've said?
Just please, if people would practice social distancing. There was a recommendation that people, if you can get your hands on a homemade mask, I know there's a lot of volunteers out there making homemade masks. Please, you know, the CDC recommended late in the day, I think it was Friday, you know, it wasn't a mandate, but a recommendation to wear a homemade mask. Try to keep the medical grade surgical masks, et cetera, for healthcare workers. They need them, but a homemade mask is absolutely going to help. I have one, and when I'm not doing my duties as a healthcare worker, you know, I went to the store yesterday and grocery shopped. You know, I'm doing it once a week, trying to do my part, and I noticed that about half of the people in the store were wearing homemade masks. So, you know, protect yourself. The biggest fear we have, I have many fears, but one of the biggest fears we have is that asymptomatic employees will come into facilities and bring it in with them and not even know it. So, you know, protect yourself when you're out in the community. Don't go out if you don't have to. Socially isolate. Just please follow the guidance, because you may not know you got it and bring it to somebody else, you know, your loved one or somebody else. So I'll leave it at that. You know, we appreciate the community's support and our families, and we're just all trying to get through this together, and yourself for helping get everybody educated.